Today, we are joined by Kurt Dronbarger, Director of Schools for Watt County, Tennessee. Guided by the philosophy, love kids, work hard, and pursue excellence, he is leading efforts to create a safe, welcoming, and high-achieving environment for every student. Welcome, Kurt.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. I'm excited to talk with you. I don't know if we've ever really had a conversation or not, but today's the day, and hopefully you'll walk away thinking, hey, that guy's, he's not too dumb. So I've been doing this a little while, so I know it's going to be great. So I always like to get a background of somebody that I don't really know that well, and you and I just discussed part of the reasons I don't have a relationship with you is when I worked at CTES, Watt County never really utilized us. Y'all used to go to the finance office to utilize us, and that's perfectly okay, but I didn't know, you know, much about you. But so I'm excited to learn a little bit of background. Did you grow up in Watt County?
I did not. I actually came to Tennessee so I was starting high school and moved here. Averitt Express brought my family to Cookeville. And so I grew up in Ohio, born in northern Ohio, kind of raised in Cincinnati. And we moved to Tennessee, moved to Cookeville in the mid-'80s with Averitt Express, and went to Cookeville High School. And, just fell in love with the South. And I tell people all the time I'm from the North, but I feel like I've been rehabilitated. I've been here a long time. And so I love living here, and I just made this area my home.
I got a very important question, Kurt.
Yep.
Are you a Bearcat, Buckeye, or did you transform into a volunteer or Commodore?
I went to UT.
Okay.
I enjoy UT. I love Tennessee. I am a big Buckeye fan.
Okay.
Very, very, very strong, devout Buckeye fan. I like to tell people all the time, you know, it's like if a Tennessee fan moved to Ohio right now, you wouldn't get a new mom. You'd stay with the same mom you grew up with that you loved and you raised, you know. Yeah. And so that's the way I feel about my Buckeyes. I've stuck with them, but love being in Tennessee.
Well, I don't blame you. I mean, you are cheering for a winner, too, but you're from there. So, of course, anybody has a right to cheer for who they want to. I just like to get... You know, where's your loyalties lie?
Yeah, so. Yeah. Have nothing against the Vols, but Vandy, all for them all. And just stuck with my childhood friends.
So you graduated Cookeville High School. Did you go to UT after that?
Did go to went to Tech. Then I transferred to UT and was actually going to be in sound design, sound broadcasting. And met this girl from Sparta and ended up transferring back to Tech. And that's how that story played out.
What we do for a girl, right?
Yeah.
So graduated from Tech in education then? Did you change your majors? Change your major?
I did. I transferred at that time. I was looking to transfer at that time anyway. In sound production, really MTSU was the place to go at that time. So I was in the process of looking at a transfer when I met what would become my wife. And so I transferred back. I really loved soccer. I played soccer the first 4 years that Cookeville High School had a team, and was involved in coaching and reffing. And so I knew I wanted to do something with soccer, and that kind of led me into teaching. And that's things just kind of went from there.
I have another random question.
Sure.
How hard is it to officiate soccer?
I mean, I don't think it's that difficult to officiate. I really enjoy it. I think in my next life, I'm going to do more of that. I was a high school referee for quite a while, and I'd love to get back into it. My schedule doesn't allow it right now, but I would look forward to doing that some more in the future.
How many officials are on the pitch? I got that right. How many officials are on the pitch at one time? Or supposed to be?
Optimally three.
Three.
You run a lot of two-man systems, especially in middle school when they have a hard time getting referees. But, you should have three.
I just learned something.
Maybe, and even four or five in international, people on the sidelines and in the booth, VAR, but in general, three.
I respect hockey a lot, or football, whatever you choose to say. I said hockey. Soccer. I got my Preds on my mind, too. The Preds are starting up. I'm a big soccer or hockey fan. I like soccer. Never played it. I don't have the stamina to play it. I don't have the athletic ability to play. I played football, American football, so soccer, but I respect it. I do want to go watch Nashville play. Have you been to see a game?
Oh, several times.
Yep. Yeah, I say it's awesome.
It's very fun. Yeah, even if you're not a soccer fan, I suggest everyone go check out a Nashville SC
game. Isn't it like the biggest MLS stadium, don't they?
I think it was the first soccer-specific MLS stadium in the nation, and it's not a bad seat in the house. It's so much fun. Yeah, I encourage everybody to go.
I'll have to do that. That's great. And they just won like some U.S.
Yeah,
Cup.
Yeah, they just won a cup, and they're off to the next tournament. So they're doing really well. I mean, they're only about 5 years old, and doing fantastic. It's a lot of fun. The Preds same way. So they say it's one of the best shows in town.
It's phenomenal. Yeah. I wish I could hockey. I wish I could so bad. So anyway, let's get back to you and education. So you graduate Tech education. Degree, where did you go from there?
Well, I started teaching in Watt County. I've been there for 27 years. I was a 8th grade social studies teacher for 10 years. and coached boys and girls soccer, and still coaching. My board is really kind. They let me do some it's therapy for me, but it's kind of community service in my job. I still get to help out with the boys high school soccer team. My son is actually the head coach, and so we get to work that together. It's a lot of fun. But I taught for 10 years middle school. I was an elementary principal for 8 years at Northfield Elementary School, and then this is starting my 10th year as director of schools.
I think it's phenomenal that your board allows the flexibility of your career to do things like that that you have a passion for. And I'm not being critical of anybody else. I'm just saying for White County, I think it's great that the board can see that, one, they have a valued leader, not only within the school system as in, you know, instruction and leadership and academic and all that, but have somebody that can offer help with a sport where I don't know if you need it or not, but it's good to have that person. Right? I do know this. I know that when I talk to local school systems, they're always looking for quality coaches. It's like a struggle to find anybody that wants to coach. And two, if they do want to coach, they have some knowledge, right? So kudos to White County Board of Education for allowing you to have some kind of role in coaching, because you like to do it. And it's even more special that you're doing it with your son.
Yeah, it's a blessing for sure. And I don't take it for granted. My day job comes first. And there are days that I just can't make it to soccer practice or I can't make it to a game. But I always have my phone on me and handy, even in the middle of a game or practice. So I'm very blessed that they allow me to do that. My first job is to being the director of schools. But as you said, it is a blessing. My son is the head coach, but I love being the assistant. It's so fun just to be not the guy. I fill up the water bottles. I schedule the buses. You know, anybody had any confrontation, I just send it to the head coach. So I love being the number two guy in that situation.
Does he ever yell at you for anything?
We have some disagreements at times, but I tell him, hey, dude, you're the head coach. So whatever you call, I say yes, sir, and I just fall in line. So it works well.
I think that's phenomenal. How did your path lead from the classroom to being at the Board of Education as director of schools?
Well, I've told this recently. I don't think anybody grows up saying, I want to be a director of schools. You know, I want to be a firefighter. I want to be a doctor. No one says they want to be a superintendent, but it just kind of evolves. But I just knew I wanted to be in leadership after years of being a teacher. I just saw places where I thought I could help and ideas that I thought I could play out. And so that led to the principalship. And as I started thinking, as the job was opening up in White County, I thought, well, maybe I could do that. Maybe I could help there. And so many qualified people at that time that were open for that job. I was really surprised that I got it. I felt like I was qualified and capable, but certainly other people that were involved there that I had a lot of respect for. Then a lot of them ended up, you know, working for me in different capacities. So just a lot of good people there. But that's how that happened. That was kind of the way that timeline shook out. And it's been a good run. It's been very fortunate, been a blessing to serve. Challenging at times, but certainly a role that I feel like I've been able to make a lot of difference in our community.
Yeah, and so you've been director now 10 years, you said.
Yes.
And so that's probably flown by, I know, but in terms of tenure for directors of schools across the state and maybe across the country, I'm not sure, that's a long tenure, really, because a lot of times you don't see directors, you stay around more than 5-6 years.
Yeah, I think the lifespan is like, last I checked, like 4.6 years or something like that. I think I'm the second longest tenured, soon to be. We're about to have our 7th new director coming up here at Christmas in the Upper Cumberland out of 15 districts. So I'm kind of the old guy at the club at this point. And it goes fast in some ways. It feels like dog years in others, but it's been a good experience. You know, it's been rewarding. It's like I said, certainly challenging at times, but certainly a very rewarding job.
How many students are in the White County school system?
About 3,600. And that's down from, you know, where I started. I think we were a little over 4,000 when I started back in 2016. So we've seen that decline a little bit over the years. But we don't feel like we're spiraling at this point. We feel like we're leveling out. That's what I'm gathering from other directors in the Upper Cumberland. And there was real kind of a downfall there after COVID. Feel like we're leveling out a little bit at this point, but a good, healthy number.
Yeah, so I don't know if you know this, and I'm not saying it to brag because it's definitely not brag worthy. I'm on the county commission here and talked to Corby, and Lynn McHenry's the chair of the school board. Lynn and I are best friends. We're like brothers. Saw him this weekend, so I don't know how well you know Lynn, but I talk education with him some. We have a life outside of that. But as a commissioner in my third term, you know, Corby and them are very transparent and communicate with the commission and talk about growth. And for years, they were growing exponentially, just students coming in and they just, boom, flatlined. And COVID had some to do that. New laws mm-hmm. are also affecting that, which we're going to talk some stuff about some vouchers. But did your stalemate or your even growth start after COVID? Is that the time, or did it take a couple years after COVID for it to flatten out?
I think we were growing. I think similarly to maybe to Putnam County and area schools, other area schools, I think we were growing pretty steadily at that point. But COVID changed things. Everybody kind of turned a little internal at that point and started looking at other options, and, you know, understandably so. And so I think really at this point, I think homeschooling has changed things quite a bit, and other private school options that people have. I'm all for those, you know, support everybody doing what's best for their child. But we're working really hard. I know Corby and I have talked about this a lot, is we're trying to change the narrative. I think that nationally and certainly in the state, there's a real push to really I don't know if it's really to kill, but to downgrade public schooling. And public schools are really, really good. And yeah. if the schools in this community are really, really good, not just White County, but all in the Upper Cumberland. I work with these people, you know, weekly, and if not daily sometimes. We have some really, really great schools in this area that we can be proud of. And so, you know, if you're for homeschooling or private schooling, that's great. We have nothing against that. We can talk about vouchers and making sure that the playing field is level a little bit later. But we have really good public schools, and we need to be proud of them in this area. And so I want to push back on the notion that public schools are bad and, you know, you need to get kids out of there, because that's certainly not the case.
Yeah, I appreciate those comments, because, I mean, I'm a public school kid and feel like I've done okay, right? You know, sure. And Upperman High School and the Baxter schools there and Putnam County Board were all supportive. But great information. I have Kurt Dronbarger. Is it Barger?
Dronbarger.
Dronbarger, yeah, okay. I mess up names all the time. Here on Local Matters, more to come with Kurt when we come back in just a moment after this break. Kurt Dronbarger, Director of Schools for White County, joins me. We have enjoyed, Kurt, getting to know you already in this first segment. Appreciate your time and being here. So 3,600 students in the White County school system. You had mentioned it leveled off after COVID. And so you said there people are looking at other options. I'll get into those in just a minute. But how many schools are actually in White County?
We have 8 schools. We have 6 elementary schools, 1 middle school, 1 high school.
So the population of White County is what, 40,000 people or 35?
No, it's probably less than that, probably around more closer to 30.
30? Mm-hmm. They're growing, though. White County, I feel like it's growing.
Yeah, it is. A lot of people moved in. We saw, like much of the Upper Cumberland, a lot of people from out of state moving into the area, you know, low taxes, low property taxes, that sort of thing. And unfortunately for the school business, it hasn't equated to more students. A lot of retired couples or people coming in with kids, they're going to homeschool, that sort of thing, which is fine. So it hasn't equaled a lot of new students, but there's certainly a lot of growth in the county.
How many students are at the high school now, roughly?
We're just over 900, and I think there was a time that we were pushing closer to 1,200.
Oh, wow.
So where we're seeing folks lose in our county, it's usually in our upper grades. You know, they're just seeing options where they can do things online and maybe talking folks and parents into that. Sometimes they want to avoid some responsibility or maybe some accountability in some certain situations, deferring some discipline, that sort of thing. So our elementary numbers are pretty consistent, but we're seeing the drop is middle high school.
So you had 1,200 students at one time at White County High School. Is that capacity? Or was there room to grow from 1,200, or is that getting close to full?
We were pretty. I mean, yeah, that was rather a full number when we get to 1,200 at that point. You know, that we were talking about some different things as far as utilizing our space a little bit better. We were fortunate. My predecessor, Sandra Crouch, did a great job, and they acquired a Food Line building, which was right on our campus pretty much at that time. We converted that into a career technical education space. And so that really doubled our CTE footprint. That allowed us to spread out a little bit. So we had room at that point. It was really a smart move on their part. I got to come in on the very end of that project. And so it put us in a good place for space. But we certainly now, with these numbers where we are, we're fine with our space at our high school.
Well, and we know you mentioned one option is homeschool. And, I mean, I know there's parents that prefer to have their kids in homeschool. And that's fine. I mean, whatever works. Is there room on campus to grow if kids start coming back to high school? Is there, can you build out, or is there just space? Is there just space in the classroom?
Yeah, we have both. We have some room. We have land. We could build on if we needed to. We certainly have space in our classrooms right now to add some. We had to be careful at one point to make sure that with only a finite number of students, we can't have every program that there is out there. We don't want to cannibalize our own programs, so we had to be selective at that point. So, but yeah, there's certainly programmatically there's room to grow. There's physically space we could build on, but right now we could take a few hundred kids at our high school, and I think, and not have to add any space.
Yeah, a few years ago when Putnam County was looking at building the Upperman Middle School to feed Upperman High School, you know, they built it bigger than the high school, right? Built it for 1,100 students with capacity at the middle school, and the high school technically was at 800. So the plan was then, well, we can build out, and they have, and so they've got it enough space to feed completely. But I don't know if you've experienced this, but a lot of my county commissioners will ask our school system all the time, when you need to build a new school, because that's a lot of debt, right? It's a lot of money to build a new school. Do you see anticipate any new schools being built in Watt County in the next 5 years?
I don't in the next five. The last one we built was about 4 years ago. We built a new Finley Elementary School, which is in the greater metropolis of Sparta, and we built that larger than it needed to be with the idea that we could absorb folks that were moving in there if we needed to restructure. We just did an addition to the smallest school, which is Bondycroft Elementary up on the mountain. So they've got a little elbow room now, and we're actually, as we speak, we're adding 7 classrooms to Doyle Elementary School. So we've made significant improvements to all of our elementary schools. Our middle school is fine at capacity, and as we've already talked about the high school. So I think if we had the next 5 years projected there, I think we're okay for our growth. I think we've put it in a good position to absorb that, and then we'll be able to kind of adjust from there.
Yeah, and of course, how did the new voucher bill affect Watt County and the enrollment there? Have you seen this? I mean, we're in October, so the school year has been two months in, I guess. Have you seen an impact from the voucher bill?
We really haven't in White County. I think it was more theoretical in White County as we look at it. I don't want to get too political on my soapbox, and I just don't agree with, you know, taking the same tax dollars and using them for private education that we're going to public education, for obvious reasons in my perspective. And so we don't have a lot of private schooling in White County. There is some in Putnam County, and you know, a few people kind of go over the line to do that sort of thing as permitted. So we didn't see a lot of numbers there, but just in theory, I serve on a lot of committees. I go down to Nashville, we're serving some different committees there as we look at things legislatively. I just wish they'd make that a fair fight. You know, I'm all for, if you want to give the same tax dollars, that's fine, but just make the same accountability. You know, if they have to have the same accountability for their teachers, if they have to take the same testing, I'm all for it. But don't play with different sets of rules with the same tax dollars, which, by the way, I pay too. So that's my kind of fight, and that's kind of how it's affected us, is kind of fighting it legislatively, working with our legislators and the committees down in Nashville, the lobbyists, to try and get that point across. You know, again, as I've said many times, I support anybody educating their children any way they want to, but let's just not do it at the detriment of public schools.
Well, and you can, of course, differ in this statement too if you got a different opinion on it, but talking to governments, to the director of schools, mayors, commissioners, the fear was the TISA, whatever, however you pronounce it, money was going to reduce, right, because of vouchers. And you all were told you were held harmless, right? That was the word that the legislator kept using.
Correct.
The schools will be held harmless, so that means you'll get the same amount of money as you've gotten. They have a plan, is it 5 or 7 years? I can't remember it's like a five-year plan.
5 years to phase that out.
And so we can't predict the future. But my question is, what happens if the 5 years comes up and now the schools are losing money?
Yeah.
What are we going to do?
Well, I think the challenge is, and that is the way that was sold, but that math doesn't work out quite as equitably as it may sound. You know, for instance, if I lose 20 students, I didn't lose them all in one classroom. So I don't just lose that one teacher. I lost 20 students over maybe 6 or 7 classrooms. So I still need every one of those teachers for the remaining students that are still in those classrooms. But I lost the funding for those 20 students. I just lost, you know, maybe $160,000.
Right.
So it's not as simple as this apples for apples as they make it sound. And that's the challenge, is I may still have the same expenses, or maybe increasing expenses when you throw in benefits and increasing utility costs and all the things that go, everything's going up, every resource is going up, but yet my revenues are going down. So that's the picture that's not really being painted.
Do you think they'll ever come up with a funding formula model that makes sense? Because I go back, like you do, and I'm not trying to age ourselves, but I remember the Fox model. Mm-hmm. Then they went to BEP, mm-hmm. BEP 2.0, mm-hmm. and now they're at TESA. And to me, none of it really is clear.
Yeah.
And it leaves everybody asking questions.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, TESA, I don't think TESA, it was designed, or at least it was sold as being more transparent than BEP. I don't believe that at all. BEP was not great either, but at least you could see on a line item where you were losing money. Now it's obscure. They'll say it's more transparent, but the line is everything's in the base. You know, if you ask about a specific number, they say, well, it's in the base. They can't tell you how much money White County Schools or Putnam County Schools or any school in Tennessee gets for, say, coordinated school health. They can't tell you how much money. So I've asked specifically, how much money do I get for a family resource center in White County? They can't give you that number. So that is not transparency. It's the opposite of it. And at least in BEP, I could see that.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Have y'all met the benchmark for salaries to be at the $50,000 that Governor Lee had push for?
We're on track. We'll meet that next year. The final installment, and then we'll be set for that. But you know, that's been good in a lot of ways. It's still well under what those folks and their education level and the job that they do should make, but certainly a step in the right direction. I was just telling somebody the other day, you know, my son, as I said, he's teaching now, and he's making twice what I made 25 years ago as a starting teacher.
Yeah.
However, housing prices are up three times as
sure.
much. And so it's a tough economy. So anyway, it's good that we're making those moves for our teachers, but we got to do more because it's a tough economy these days for everybody.
Great information. White County Schools Director of Schools, Kurt Dronbarger. More to come after this break. Welcome back. Mr. Kurt Dronbarger, Sparta, White County Director of Schools, is with me. And great information on White County school system. 3,600 students, 8 schools. Like most school systems in the state, populations about evened out. We've talked vouchers. We've talked about so many good things, so many challenging things that affect school systems. Let's get back into the good stuff and talk about all the wonderful awards and achievements White County Schools have earned the last couple of years. Kurt, why are y'all so good? What are you good at, and why are y'all so good at it?
Well, I mean, it's cliche, but we have really good people. We really do. You know, our motto in White County is to love kids, work hard, and pursue excellence. And that's not something that's just on my business card. It's something we really try and do every day. We're not perfect. We make mistakes. We're people. But we really do try and love kids first and foremost and do what's best for them. As a director of schools, that starts with me. That means if I've got a decision between, you know, teachers and students, I tip my scales towards students every time. And that doesn't always make the parents and teachers happy, but that's the way I make decisions. Even and if they're wrong, they're made in that with that motive in mind. But beyond that, we have really great principals. We have strong leadership in our supervisory roles. We don't change those roles very often because we have really good people in place. And they hire really smart and talented teachers and staff. And together, they've worked really closely to make sure that our kids are loved and working hard and pursuing excellence every day.
So what are some of the awards y'all have won recently?
So for the second year in a row, we are level 5 out of 5, our TVOS district. So we're really proud of that. Our high school was a level 5 as well. And that's, I think, second year in a row that they've done that as well. So, you know, it just means we're amongst, compared to like schools and districts across the state, that we're at the highest level for growth. All of our schools are A and B schools on the state report card. We're really proud of that. I saw a recent, we got our scores back from last year's testing. Out of the 27 tested categories, that's from grades 3 through 12, we were ranked in the top 5. We're above the state average in all of those, I think, except for one, and we're working hard on that one. We were in the top 5 in the Upper Cumberland in every one of those categories. And so that's one of my unwritten goals. I've told my folks, you know, we're kind of the 4th or 5th largest district in the Upper Cumberland. So I expect us to be in the top 5 in everything. And so we were this year. And that was really, we were number 1 in 9 of those categories. Saw a stat, something came out recently in a national publication, post-COVID, of schools that had rebounded from prior learning in COVID years. White County was one of 4 districts in the entire state that had reached that status, and only 1 of 100 in the nation that had done that. So not bad for little White County. Really proud of those numbers.
Yeah, I mean, those are great honors and things to be proud of, for sure. How do you keep up the momentum? I know you said people, but, you know, sometimes people change. You got turnover, or somebody, they leave, or sometimes funding change. How do you keep the momentum up?
Well, it's just like any good team or that's had success. You just got to keep driving to pursuing excellence. You know, we set the bar high. We, any folks that come in new and join us, we pair them up with really strong mentors and a program to make sure that here are the expectations, here's where the bar is, and we push people to meet that. So it's a lot of good people in the supervisory roles and our principalships to make sure that their people are doing what they need to do every day.
So you told me earlier, I think before we even started, you're the chairman of the Upper Cumberland School Superintendents?
Superintendent Study Council, yes.
Yeah, so what do you all do when you get together?
So we meet monthly, and we sit together as a group. We meet with representatives from the Department of Education, from the commissioner's office herself. Higher education is at the table. Sometimes people from AP are there. A number of different people that play into what we do every day. So we meet and get updates from all those different groups, and then we share as districts around the table, what are you dealing with? What problems are you seeing? What are you doing to solve this problem? So that's happening monthly in the Upper Cumberland.
Yeah, I think it's great to meet with your peers, right? Whether it's at monthly meetings or at conferences, or and somehow you can a lot that I've learned in my professional career has come from other people that do the same thing that I do.
Sure.
And it's a free education. I don't have to pay for that, right? I don't have to pay to call up my counterpart in, you know, Iowa or my counterpart in California and say, "Hey, how do you handle this situation?" It's just one of those things where it's free access to people and you learn so much. But I feel like the Upper Cumberland Schools, you mentioned, I think there's going to be a new superintendent come on in December. But when I think about my career at CTS, I think about who's there now. There's several that's been, it's still around, it's been there a little while, right? Of course, Miss Diane left Pickett County,
right.
You know, and she's been there a long time. And sure. I'm happy, so happy for her that she got to retire and she's going to enjoy it. But when you get a new director of schools, how do you help them in their county? How do you break them in or give them advice?
Well, we just had the Superintendent Study Council conference in Gatlinburg last month. And so that was a good time for us to get together. I sat in particular with the new six new directors, and we shared a lot of information. And it's just that. We've all been there in that situation, been in that seat, and been the new person coming in. And it's a really great group. And I don't say that. I'm certainly biased. But when we talk to the other study councils across the state, of which there are eight, you know, leadership in Nashville tell me what you all have in the Upper Cumberland is really special. You all really work really closely together, and we do. We support one another. I've been on a text thread today with all the directors, had a question about what do you do in this situation? How do you all handle this there? So we work together, and that, I think that's really unique to the Upper Cumberland because we understand we don't have a metropolis in the sense like a Nashville, Knoxville, Chattanooga, but we have Cookeville, and we're all the kind of the hub. Cookeville's the hub, or Putnam County's the hub, and we got to support that for our own longevity. We understand that White County, we can't in and of itself provide every bit of workforce that might be needed, but if we work with Jackson County and we work with Overton County collectively, we can say to industries all over the world, come to this area. We can provide a workforce. We can provide what you need. Everything you need is here in the Upper Cumberland. It just might have to come from some different areas to make it happen.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier your predecessor had started the CTE expansion, and that is huge for industry and commercial businesses to come in and plant their roots in the Upper Cumberland. And you all were doing that years ago with expanding that. And so have you seen some success from that, from expanding that program?
We have. We've had two governors visit that facility. We've been really proud of it, what we call our career academy. But we're excited about that. What we've done in that space is, you know, focused on mechatronics and STEM, and our nursing program is out of that building. But it's also freed up space in our other, what we call our CTE building, our old vocational building, to have the shop class and to have automotive mechanics and to have our construction class. And actually, we're really proud of our media class. It's called Warrior Media, who's run out of that there as well. What we've had to do, I think, collectively, as I talk about supporting the Upper Cumberland, is, you know, we talk to the other districts and say, what are you offering? And you mentioned Upperman. They do a logistics program with Academy Sports. White County's not going to go in hard on logistics because Upperman's got that. You know, where other people may not go in really hard with Warrior Media broadcasting because that's our niche. And so we work together because we're trying to collectively work together and produce this workforce in the area that maybe White County in and of itself can't do, but collectively we can provide.
That's great. So going from the classroom as a social studies teacher in eighth grade to principal to director of schools, the goals for student success, have they changed from each level of service that you've done?
You know, they really haven't. I think I developed the love hard, work hard, excuse me, love kids, work hard, pursue excellence thing as when I was a principal in Northfield Elementary. It's where I developed that, and I just carried that on into this superintendency. But, you know, that was my philosophy in as a teacher. It's just building relationships. You know, you're just building relationships with kids and with parents, you know, with your school community, with your school board, with your county commissioners. I mean, it's just relationships and, you know, being really honest and open. And as I said before, you know, we're a business in some regards. I mean, our product is people, so it's a little bit different in that regard. But at the end of the day, you're building relationships. You're working hard. You know, you're going to make mistakes because you're human beings. But, you know, you fess up when you mess up. You fix it and you move forward and just keep holding the bar high and trying to reach for it every day.
How do you effectively showcase or communicate to the funding body, the county commission, how well you are doing and why the funding doesn't need to stop? How do you effectively do that?
Well, I think we've done, my predecessors did a fantastic job when I came in. We had a healthy fund balance, and I've tried to keep that up. I think we also have a responsibility. One of the first things I did, we built an athletic complex because we had really poor athletic facilities at that time. And I felt like that was something that our community would rally around. Every kid that comes through our school system goes through that middle school and gets to participate in that. I say that to say we spent some money where I felt like it needed to be spent and spent on the kids who had earned it and who had generated it. But at the same time, we want to put money in the bank a little bit each year. We've been very fiscally responsible. And I think that's the biggest thing I can say to our county commission is that I have not come and asked for them for money. I've been good stewards of what we've had. We're trying to meet all of our needs. Sometimes we play a little close to the vest. Maybe we don't hire as many people as we could. But what I've been able to say is we've been able to build, we've been able to grow, we've been able to add on, and we've been able to do it within our budget throughout the years.
So you don't have to announce your retirement day right here, but I don't know how long you have left, and I'm sure it's between you and the good Lord above, but what would you like to see happen before you leave as director of schools?
Well, I just want to see us keep moving forward. I'm proud of all the achievements that we've made. I think we've added on significantly to every building that we have. Every school has grown physically. I think we've grown, obviously, academically from our scores. I want to see us keep moving in that direction. You know, just keep moving forward in that vein. I think really at this point, what I'd like to see us do is work on the next plan for that next group, for that next school board or that next director, that next wave of principals, have a good plan in place for them to feel like I've left it better than I found it. And that's no disparaging remark to anybody else. And I'm sure they felt the same way. When I leave it, I want them to feel like, okay, I'm taking the keys to a really good car here. And I just want to make sure I keep it between lanes.
One last question. You're a coach, you're an athlete, you're a coach, and you're now an administrator at the highest level in the county. Does athletics get a bad rap sometimes by the public? Because, you know, to me, athletics brings the community together. Does it get a bad rap in your opinion?
I don't know if it gets a bad rap. I think there's issues there. I think a lot of times, like in a small community like ours, that, you know, athletics are very, very important. You know, we worked really hard to kind of rebuild our football program a few years back, and now they're being really successful. Mm-hmm. I think that road still goes through Upperman at some point, but we're really proud of where we've come and where we got to as a program. But, you know, all of our sports, I think it's, you know, sports are just valuable. And just like school in general, I've always said that schools are a microcosm of their community. I mean, they, in a small way, it shows you, you know, what your community is like. And so I think sports are a big part of that, and we want to make sure that our sports are a great experience for everybody involved.
Kurt Dronbarger, Watt County Director of Schools. Thank you for being here, sir. Appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Enjoyed your time. Enjoyed my time with you. Folks, it's a lot easier to smile. It is a frown. Make somebody's day. Be kind to one another. Hope you have a great weekend. Enjoy this like I have. We'll see you next time.